Well, good morning. Glad you could each one be here. I'm surprised sometimes. I'm thankful, but I'm surprised sometimes that the avenue of access that is being provided by having messages put up on Church of God preaching. When I get some feedback, I realize that the potential for someone else to download and to listen to what is said in other congregations across the nation is very real and very high. And I know that when I get personal feedback, that's a very small, probably a very small number of those that might listen in from time to time. So we may feel that we're pretty small and pretty insignificant in this place, but I want us to know that there's a community out there that appreciates the efforts that's being made and by those that are taking all the time to edit and take out maybe some garbled up places and things like that, but it also puts up a real sense of responsibility when we stand behind this desk and have a message to make sure that what we have is something that God would have us to say. So what we have today, I pray that you'll take it to heart, and I'd also pray that you would really think about your reaction to what we have to say this morning. I remember listening to a message, I think, that Brother Ed Wilson had gave at the Neosho congregation, and he said at the beginning that you might put your seat belts on. So I would like to use that phrase this morning and tell you that you might ought to put your seat belts on. And ask the Lord to help us. I think you know me well enough to know that I'm not someone that likes to what was the Pharisees doing? Putting heavy burdens, grievous burdens on those and things that they wouldn't even touch with their little finger. That's not my purpose. I think you know me better than that. But I do have something I feel like the Lord really impressed me with in my heart. And I see it. You know, people can read the scripture and see things that is not there. But just ask you to be, to consider what we have to say this morning and ask the Lord to open these scriptures up to you. If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. I mean that. But if I'm right, then that means we need to buckle down. We have a job on our hands. So I want to write something here on the board. So what I've wrote on the board is the word scale or die. Now, if you told me use the word scale when I was young, I would think you had to be talking about a fish and that we needed to take the scales off of a fish. But I found in my walk of life and my experience with the English language, the English language we speak in the United States of America anyway, that there are things that seem to constantly be a little bit, a little adjustments made, a little bit of changes. And this word is one that has changed a little bit in its meaning. In its past, it could mean the part of the outer layer of a fish's body. It could also mean don't they play a scale of notes in musical? It can refer to that. A scale can be used, the word scale can be used to talk about something that we would measure mass or weight with. We can use the word scale to talk about climbing a ladder, or someone that would maybe climb a fence and go over the top. We would say they scaled the fence. But there's another definition that has become more used in recently, and even it's mentioned in the definition. So I want to read a definition for you. It says, scale is increasingly being used as shorthand for scale up, to grow or expand in proportional and usually profitable way. And as a noun, that means proportional growth, especially of production or profit and or a large market position. So scaling, this is my thought, this is my interjection to the definition. Scaling is where the increase becomes somewhat passive on the part of the initial investor. All right? So scaling is what is happening when someone gets it started and then others either takes it and runs with it, or it kind of is self-fulfilling. it's really good to have, if you're trying to move some livestock, if to have one of them that is kind of the apparent leader, if you can coax them to do what you want everybody to do, usually the others will follow in right behind. If you're trying to load them in a trailer, it's like everybody stands there at the gate and will not get in the trailer. And if you can get one of them to put their feet up in and get in, the rest of them says, well, I want in there too. And they about trample over each other getting in. So that's a very maybe crude illustration of scaling, all right? But scaling in particular is talking about this in use like this, is talking about getting something started that is, you might say, almost self-increasing. We do things in life that scaling, another very simple illustration would be we plant seeds in the ground in the spring, and we maybe set out some tomato plants, and the whole idea, maybe we do a little bit, but we're really not making the fresh tomatoes. We're really not putting the kernels on the cob. It's the sunshine, it's the nutrients in the soil, it's the moisture that's in the soil, it's the time that it takes to happen, and maybe we planted the seed, and maybe we kept some of the weeds out, and maybe we added some nutrients, and maybe we done a little bit to it, But we really didn't make the corn on the cob. We really didn't put the beans on the bean vine or plant. It's something that was scaled. We got it started, but by and large, the result was a passive thing. All right? So I'd like for us to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I would like to read some of a parable here that Jesus gave. And this parable seems to be when Jesus was, I believe, in Jerusalem. This is at the end of his life. It's at the... He says in the 24th chapter, he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us. So that kind of gives us a location. And on over in the 25th chapter, it doesn't appear that he's changed locations. So that's a little bit of an assumption. But so we'll read this here a little bit. Verse 14 beginning, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. So it's a parable. It's a probable or possible story, but it's maybe not an actual account. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a man that's traveling into a far country who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We could maybe... have a conclusion that he gave them control of everything that was his, or maybe just a portion of it. But it says here that he delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So, I know for a fact, if I plant a garden in the spring and every day I go out there and I dig up my seed and check it, more than likely I'll never reap any kind of reward or harvest. So this man, he gave his goods, these talents, this appears to be a amount of money, of resources. He gave this, these talents to these servants. He gave one of them 5 talents. He gave one of them 2 talents and another one 1. He did this in relationship or corresponding to what his perception was of their abilities. All right? He perceived that the one that he gave 5 talents to had the capabilities to be responsible for 5 talents, to be able to use 5 talents to its potential. All right? And he gave 2 and 1. It's not a reflection on anything other than that was his judgment. That was his judgment of his servants. He gave them these talents, and then he departed. He took his journey. He went to his destination. He had another responsibility, and he went on with that and left that with them. So here is the seed that's planted. Here's where scaling begins, if you will. He was implementing, he had an expectation, did he not, when he gave these talents? Because he knew that the one he gave 5 to, he felt like that 5 talents is something this man can handle in his own abilities. He gave 1, 2 of them, and he gave another one 1 talent. So every one that he gave them something, it's just a conclusion that I would have to jump to, but the conclusion I have come to or jumped to is that he had only 3 servants. Maybe he had more, but that's the way the story is written. That's my conclusion, is there was only three. And he took his three and he said, I'm going to give you five and I'm going to give you two and I'm going to give you one. And he did that. And then he went on with his other responsibility. We don't know what he said to them when he gave it to them. We don't know if he said, I know that you're a very capable young man. I believe that I can trust you with this, and use it the way you think I would use it. Do you think that might be what he said? Possible. I don't know what he said exactly, but he gave them these talents, and he went on with these other responsibilities. Now, I'd like for us to read another account in a little bit. Over in Luke, the 19th chapter, and this appears to be a different setting, but it has a lot of similarities in it, in that Jesus is telling the story, and we look in the 11th verse, he says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, so he wasn't at Jerusalem. He was a little bit removed. Where he exactly was, I'm not sure here. So he said he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Remember, they were looking for a literal kingdom, just like a lot of people today are looking for a literal kingdom. And Jesus said, And he said, therefore, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So, was this the same man that was talked about in Matthew 25? And Jesus is just telling this account to a different group, a different setting. I don't know. But there's some similarities, but there's a lot of details that are different. Okay? About this account and the one in Matthew. So he says, and he called his 10 servants. So in this case, he specifically says there was 10, not just 3, and not just division of 3 different amounts, but he said he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So there is some people out there that believe he gave each one of them 10 pounds. And there's others that, and I guess I'm one of them, that it seems like that he gave each one 1 pound. 10 servants and gave each one 1 pound. The reason I say that is because of the results. So I'm just trying to get us all here on this. So here again, this man, he was a nobleman, that's what it says here. A nobleman, I think that brings up in our mind that this is someone that would have authority, would have power, most likely a level of affluence, some extra money to invest with. And he brought his servants, someone that didn't have the resources to maybe invest. That maybe they were many times in that time of history, people that were born into servitude, basically, didn't have much opportunities like we have today. So he brought these servants in, there was 10 of them, and he had 10 pounds, a measure of money or resources, and he gave them 10 pounds. It's my perspective that he gave them each one a pound, a piece. They were all on the same. He doesn't say that he gave them according to their ability like the other account. Gave everybody the same amount. It's still the initial step to scaling, all right? There was an investment made into something that the nobleman took his hands off of. Because it says here, he delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So his objective was he needed to leave his resources with his servants, and he had another responsibility. So his resources were entrusted to these servants, and whatever they did with them was going to be somewhat of a passive return, right? He was not actively managing them and telling them what to do. Don't you think that he had gave them a lot of instructions over several months, years, a period of time? They knew how he operated his business. They knew how he operated his life, and they knew what kind of decisions he would make. Remember another minister saying one time that in his place of work that he was under some distress, and there was a saying that he found out about later on that his co-workers would use while he was not being able to be at work. You know, we see this thing, what would Jesus do, WWJD. Well, when he wasn't there, he found out later on that his co-workers, when they came up to a problem, they came up to a decision that had to be made, and maybe sometimes it was, you know, pretty costly decision. He found out that they were saying to one another, what would Curtis do? So, don't you think these servants operated? They knew that when he wasn't there, whatever this nobleman's name was, he was someone that they could say to one another, well, what would he do? How would he handle this situation? All of them was aware of how he operated in life. All of them knew what his objectives were. They knew how that he had accumulated these 10 pounds. Okay? So, I want to skip down maybe to the 15th verse. And it says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, so he was successful in what he went to do, and while he left the 10 pounds in the hands of his 10 servants. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So, here's the deal. He entrusted this with them. They knew how he'd operate. They could have asked one another, what would he do? We know what he would do. This is the way he would make a decision. He would be informed, or he would go off of a hunch, or whatever his method was. They knew how he operated. So when he come back, he called his servants in, and he said, I need to know. He said that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He intended for them to do something with what he had entrusted with them. Okay? That's what scaling is. When we make an investment in something, when we put something in place, we intend for it to produce something. I've never planted a grain of corn, I've never planted a bean in my garden and expected a plant to come up and just one bean hang off the end of it. Never expected that. I never expect for my corn plant to come up and it put up something that looked like an ear, and when I pull it back, you know what I do when I pull the shuck back and there's only 3 or 4 kernels on that? I usually toss it to the side. Either that or just eat it raw out in the garden. It's not enough to mess with. If the cob is all bare and it's only got 2 or 3 kernels on it, what's the point? All right? No increase. So he says here, then came the first, this is Jesus speaking, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So, scaling. Do you see what I'm talking about? I gave him a pound. I don't know how long he was gone. Was he gone 2 months or 2 years? I believe it was a period of time. It was most likely a longer period of time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been so concerned about them, what they were doing with it. All right? So he said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. That is really 10 times what he gave to him. That is very rewarding. And don't you know that the man that brought him, don't you know when he brought in the extra 10 pounds, and maybe he was very enthused about how to tell him how he had done it. I did it just like, you always said if you do this, this, and this, that's the way you make things work. And he said, I did it just like you said, and this is what happened. I can just see enthusiasm. I can see in my mind's eye, I can see how this man was so thrilled at being able to tell this nobleman, I was just a servant. I was probably born into servitude. I didn't have any opportunity, but I watched what you did. I listened to what you said. I did what you would do, and look at what happened. It's kind of like when the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, even the devils are subject unto us. They did what Jesus would have done. And when they went out there and Jesus had sent them out, and when they come back, they was able to give him that kind of report. And that's when Jesus said that he saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You remember that setting in the scripture? This is very similar. This nobleman comes back, he calls his servants in, and he said, what are you going to say for yourself? And one of them said, you entrusted that pound with me, and I did it just like you would do it, and here's 10 pounds. That's what the fulfillment of scaling is. All right? So he said unto him, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Remember what this man went to inherit or went to collect on? It was a kingdom. So, I don't know, was this a test to see who would be responsible enough? He was going to need some help governing a kingdom, right? So when he come back and he called it, maybe this pound thing was just a preliminary test. You done so well. You have learned the lessons of management, of life, of applying yourself so well. You're going to have, I'm going to give you the responsibility over 10 cities. And then the second one came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. I believe the enthusiasm was just as much. It wasn't, he didn't come in and say, well, I only learned half as much as the other one learned. He didn't say that. You know, when I go through my garden and I pull one ear of corn off and it's 14 inches long and it's the cob is as big around as a quarter, and every row is perfectly straight, and it's like, wow, this is a really nice ear of corn. And I go to the next stalk and I pull off one that's only 6 inches long, and it's got all of its kernels are filled out. I don't say, well, just half as smart a corn stalk. No, I don't ever say that. I'm just thankful for every one. And I believe this was the same thing. This man, whatever it was, maybe the how he had tried to, opportunities weren't there as much. But he did what he could. He put it in practice. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another one came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I've kept laid up in a napkin. Now, immediately, he starts offering excuses. He says, I put it in a napkin. Do you think that when the man gave the servants the pounds in the beginning, they called his 10 servants in, here's 10 pounds, I've got this kingdom I'm going to possess. I'm going to receive this kingdom. And while I'm gone, here's what you need to be responsible for. Do you think he told any of them, now one of the options you can do is put this in a napkin. Do you think he said that? I don't think he did. I think he said, plant it. Do the best you can with it. I've got confidence in you. That's what I believe the nobleman said to them. There's no way to, you might say, not be a winner. I'm building up to something. But he said, Lord, here's thy pound. I've kept it laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him that pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This is referring back to the 14th verse that we didn't read. So we find here the one that refused to be part of the scaling. He not only was not given anything, any responsibility, but what he had been entrusted with earlier was taken away from him. There's no mention about the man that had 10, that had gained 10, of his being taken away from him. I don't know if he had to forfeit it or not. Maybe the nobleman told him to take that money and use it to develop his infrastructure in governing those 10 cities. I don't know. But this one that only had the one, that put it in a napkin, that laid it on a shelf, in the story in Matthew, he buried his talent in the ground. But it was taken from him too. So we have here the one that says, I will not be part of this scaling. He's just going to take it away from me anyway. If he reaps where he don't harvest, you know, I believe Jesus told this for a reason. I believe he told it 2 times because it was an important thing. Whether he had the same exact thing in mind, or whether there are some variations between what he said or just the variation in what Luke recorded. Remember, Luke is the one that probably didn't hear it firsthand. He probably heard it from someone else. Matthew, on the other hand, was one that most likely heard what Jesus said for himself. So I don't know where the variation was, but there's a principle that was taught in both of these places. It's a parable that he taught in 2 different places to teach us something. It's recorded in the scripture because we ought to pay attention. And he said, the kingdom of heaven, in both places, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is an example. This is an illustration. Here's someone that has resources beyond the common person, beyond the servant. I profess to be a servant of the Lord. And I believe that by and large you do too. I profess to be his child. I'm listening to what he would tell me. So now I'm put in this place. Do you believe that God entrusts things to us? I believe he does. He's entrusted the experience of salvation to us. And I look around and realize that he's challenging me to follow his example. He's challenging me to do the best I can to follow the patterns that he would follow to be able to scale his operation. You know, there were thousands that come to hear Jesus when he was here on this earth. And by statistics, there were less people on the earth then than there is now. Jesus said in John 14 in the 12th chapter, chapter 14 in verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus intended for the gospel to be a scaling operation. You know what the end result of this scaling operation was in both Matthew and Luke? The ones that refuse to be part of the scale, refuse to be part of the increase, lost it. This is why I wrote on the board behind me, scale or die. If we are unwilling to be part of the gospel in a scaling operation, we're going to die. What we have will be taken away from us. That's why I said you need to put your seatbelts on. Up above John 14 and 12, Jesus told them that no one can come to the Father except through him. He also instructed them that if they would had seen him and known him, that they knew the Father. And he challenged the people, to the disciples, that's who he was talking to in the 14th chapter of John. He challenged them to believe him for the very work's sake. Don't you know that in these parables that Jesus taught, these servants knew how their master, the nobleman, the man, the whatever, whoever it was that gave out the money. Don't you know they knew how he operated? They knew what his works were. And then Jesus gave the disciples in John the 14th chapter, he gave them this prophecy of how they would accomplish more than it was possible for him to accomplish if they'd be willing to be part of it. Jesus couldn't literally minister to all mankind. That's why he gave the commission of the gospel. That's why he gives to us the commission. To us. To reach out to those around us. I know. This is where you better cinch it up a little bit. I know what it's like to grow up and be some of those isolated saints. Y'all have heard that phrase. No real congregation, no regular services. I'm thankful for the services we had. I know what it's like. I knew what it was like to only have my brother for another young person to be with on a regular basis. The only young people I got to be with was when I came to camp meeting. Many things I didn't understand then, and many things I don't understand now. My burden in what I feel like God give me as a calling into the ministry was to strengthen and equip and encourage individuals in the body of Christ. I never thought that I was called to be an evangelist of any kind. As a congregation here, we've suffered some injuries. I will not plead for someone to come or someone to stay. I want everyone to be here because they want to be here. Because they feel that God's blessings is in this place. I would welcome reinforcements. Over the years, I've had more than once someone say, "We're thinking about moving to your congregation." And one time in particular, I visited with this person, and I felt like they were trying to escape something that they needed to face at home. And my counsel to them was, the best thing for you to do is face what you're dealing with at home. And I'm not telling you not to come. We'll treat you nice. But if you're just trying to get away from something, you'll be stronger if you conquer it right where you're at. That's what I told them. And they didn't come. But if we don't scale, we're going to die. If we don't scale, we're going to die. The things that we might have worked for, if we don't learn how, if I don't learn how to be more of an evangelist, we're going to die. I don't feel like that's God's plan. I don't feel like it was the nobleman's plan for the servant to bring back this pound, this amount of money in a napkin all wrapped up. I don't believe it was the plan of the man in the parable in Matthew for the man to go dig a hole and put his talent in a hole in the ground and then dig it up when he was called to reckon with it and bring it back. Lord, help us. I want to be faithful. I want to do what God would have me to do. I recognize, I'm confessing to you this morning that I feel that I've failed in knowing how to reach out more. And if we don't get beyond this, if we don't go beyond this, we're going to die. This is not a what do they call it? This is not a nursery. It should be a hospital. It's not a pacify the whimpering. It's let's fix some real problems. That's what we're here for. If someone comes, I want them to know that God loves them. I want them to know that this is a place that they can receive spiritual food, that they can grow thereby. I want us to realize, dear ones, that this setting is a setting that God wants to prosper. Maybe it's only fivefold. Maybe you're given two and you bring two back. We go back to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we notice there, said the one that received five talents, I'm reading in verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made other five talents. And likewise, he that received two had, he also gained other two. So, I don't feel like that God has an expectation that if we don't make 10 times, that we're a failure. He told both of them, well done. He told the servant that had made, took 1 pound and made 10 more, he said, well done. The one that had taken 1 pound and made 5, he said, well done. I'm just as happy for an ear of corn 6 inches long as I am one that's 14 inches long. But the thing that gets us in trouble is he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And this was taken away from him too. Folks, I don't want truth to be taken away from me. I don't want the reality of what the gospel will do for the souls of mankind to be taken away. I want us to realize here today that we've been given something. It's a gift. Not only were we given the Christ child, not only was it the witness of the Holy Spirit the night that he was born and before and right after, there was incredible witness of the Holy Spirit that this is going to be the Messiah. We talked about that a couple Sundays ago. And not only that, we talked about last Sunday how it was been prophesied for, we would say, eons, for years and generations and generations. And we've been given that. Now what are we doing? What am I doing? So this is why it's important that we don't just take the blessing of salvation and hide it from others. I stand to be corrected in a lot of things, and I know that I know I can do better. And I ask you to be merciful to me. And I trust that we'll get the point this morning. If we don't scale, not just as an, I want us all to grow individually, but I'm specifically talking about us as a congregation today. I'm looking over the past. And then when I turn and look out into the future, I'm foolish to think that if we don't scale, we're going to die. If we don't scale, you know, have you, anybody here ever bought anything at Radio Shack? Have you ever looked for a Radio Shack recently, last year? You know, I was needing something Christmas Day. I knew I couldn't buy it Christmas Day, but I knew I was wanting something, so I got on the Google, and I'm looking for a Radio Shack because I thought they might have it. You know what I found? Radio Shack, Joplin, Missouri. And down there below, you know, it usually will say closed for the day and when they open the next day. You know what this one said? Permanently closed. Is that what we want it to say? It's not what I want it to say. I'd take 10%. I'd take 5%. I'd take a little bit. I'd welcome a lot. But Lord, help us. If we don't scale, we're going to die. You pray for me.